Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. If you listen to our other episode highlighting the Green Bay Phoenix run throughout, shout out to Brian Kuklinski for giving us some time to highlight both the men and the women's regular season journey into the quarterfinals. Again, a lot of quarterfinal action going on around the league, both sides, men and women, of course. And with that being said, March starts here in Indianapolis. The Barbasol Horizon League men's and women's basketball championships will take place at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum on March 11th and 12th. And Indy, with trips to the NCAA tournament on the line, follow your Horizon League men and women's basketball teams, of course, on campus during first and quarterfinal games before joining them in Indy for the major experiences in the semifinals and others. Make sure you check out horizonleague.com/Indy for more details. Well, the first round is officially in the books. All right, you had Cleveland State, the 7th seed, knock off IUPUI, the 10th seed. Fort Wayne holds off Robert Morris. Milwaukee takes care of Detroit, and it went chalk as expected. But can we expect chalk moving forward? I highly doubt it. I feel like this league is so deep right now, and we've gotten the final eight teams now, eight teams fighting for the final four spots at Indiana Farmers Coliseum. And one of those teams fighting for a top spot, how about the 2 seed, the Youngstown State Penguins? And joining us now, Rob Schmidt, the longtime voice of the Penguins, giving us some time. Rob, it's been a while, my friend. How are you? Welcome.
Thank you. It's always fun talking with you, Justin. I appreciate the opportunity.
So as we sit here right now, obviously, you know, we've talked all season about the importance of, yes, wanting to win the league, but if you can't win the league, the second most important thing is finish the season healthy, of course, finish the season with some momentum, but finish the season with the top 4 seed, because you get a first round bye and a chance to host a quarterfinal matchup, giving you the best odds to punch your ticket to the Final Four at Indiana Farmers Coliseum. You have Youngstown, the Penguins. They did that. They finished number 2 in the league, of course. They've been fantastic all season. Not many people knew what to expect of them coming in, because they did lose so many players from last year. Coach Calhoun did a fantastic job piecing this roster together through the transfer portal, and they've been hitting the ground running from the very beginning. Your takeaways as they wrapped up the 2 seed and are now right now getting set to take on a very good Cleveland State team in the quarterfinals tomorrow?
Well, you touched upon it. I think, you know, the good thing is, you know, they found some rhythm, and then they built some momentum with that sweep of Wisconsin, winning at Milwaukee, and then following up that with a win at Green Bay, and then that allowed them to come home and knock off Detroit Mercy to wrap up the 2 seed. And then, you know, everybody else played the final night of the regular season on that Saturday, where the men here at Youngstown State had that weekend off. So it gave them a little extra time to rest. Some people like it, some don't. Some think maybe you get a little rusty over that weekend that you don't play while everyone else is. So it'll be an 8-day layoff between the last game of the regular season and the quarterfinal game against Cleveland State on Thursday. But, you know, I think the 3 wins that they had to close out the regular season were imperative, because the Penguins had not put together back-to-back wins since the end of January. So for them now to build a little bit of a mini winning streak to close out the regular season, I think was huge. The teams that they beat, I think was imperative. The win at Milwaukee and the win at Green Bay kind of help solidify their confidence. But you're right, they're playing very well here at the end of the year, and then they've put some momentum together heading into the quarterfinal game.
You know, I'm not saying seeding doesn't matter, but with how good the league has been this year, this is sounds weird to say, but it almost doesn't matter. It's strictly matchup based at this point. You know, the fact that, you know, Oakland and Fort Wayne, you know, I should be able to look at a 1-8 seed and be like, oh, well, Oakland's going through, right? Like the same thing with Youngstown against Cleveland State, you know, Green Bay and Milwaukee in the 3-6, Wright State and NKU. I mean, seeds just don't matter right now. This is as unpredictable of a quarterfinal field that I can remember in quite some time. I'm not comfortable saying Oakland is going to beat Fort Wayne. I can't say Youngstown's going to beat Cleveland State. You know, Milwaukee can knock off Green Bay. I you know, found out Noah Reynolds, and on his Instagram page, said he's going to play. So that's that kind of changes up the mindset of a lot of people. But yeah, the depth in this quarterfinal field is pretty insane. Seeding almost doesn't matter at this point.
No, you're 100% right. If you look at each of these matchups for the Horizon League, this to me is an ideal setup in the quarterfinals. So of the 4 quarterfinal games, 3 have teams that split the regular season. Only Wright State, as you well know, only the Raiders swept their opponent as they beat Northern Kentucky twice during the regular season. Plus, of these 4 quarterfinal matchups, in essence, really 3 of them are rivalries. So you're talking short bus rides, you're talking teams with history, you're talking teams that have, you know, fan bases that are very excited about these matchups. So you know, they're great regional rivalries. You've got teams that have split the regular season. It's a coin toss. You're right. 1 through 8, we felt this way for most way through the season, that anybody 1 through 8, you can even throw it at times in there, maybe even as deep as Robert Morris at 1 through 9, but for sure 1 through 8 have been a toss up the entire season.
Yeah, Robert Morris was one of those teams you looked at in the standings, and you know they didn't look like they had that all great of a season, but I do know that every time they popped up on someone's schedule, you know, with us with Wright State, I'm keeping a look at the competition, who they're pursuing. I'm like, well, they have Robert Morris. You can't just count that as a win over Robert Morris. So like, they were always that thorn in team's side, and you know, their season's obviously done at this point, but they were always one you couldn't count out. So you're right. But yeah, 8 really good teams. Seeding doesn't matter. You talked about those rivalry matchups. I agree with you. I mean, to have Green Bay and Milwaukee, and then Wright State and NKU, that's one of our favorite rivalries over here. We always circle that one on the calendar when that comes out. But then Youngstown State, Cleveland State, you're right. I mean, everything is rivalry based at this point. So it's going to be interesting nonetheless. Let's talk about the regular season awards, Horizon League first, second, and third teams. No Penguins showing up on Horizon League first team, but the depth of this team, again, so many contributors. You get 3 players on 10 spots in Horizon League second and third team. Obviously, Brett Thompson on third team, who is a heck of a player. And then Ziggy Reed and DJ Burns, the rebounding king. I mean, so many great players for Youngstown State represented across Horizon League second and third team.
You know, and I know Coach Calhoun was really hopeful that DJ Burns would garner first-team honors. But again, it speaks to the depth of this league and the amount of players that are currently competing in this league. For a guy who has strung together as many double-doubles in a row as DJ Burns has, he's had 21 on the year. I think he has strung together 18 straight, I believe it is, something to that effect. For a guy who's had 10 or more rebounds and 21 or 22 games this season to be on the second team speaks volumes about the depth of this league. But, I personally would love to have seen DJ on the first team, but you can't argue with who's on the first team in this league. You got Trey Calvin, who was the preseason player of the year, and you can make an argument that, you know, would DJ have been on the first team if Trey wasn't? So that's how good this league is right now, with the amount of players that can compete and do compete on a nightly basis. And, you know, for DJ Burns to come in here and Ziggy Reed and Brett Thompson in their first year with this program and in this league to make that kind of an impact, to garner second and third team honors, says a lot for the way they were recruited and the guys that Coach Calhoun felt could contribute here right away. And then, you know, Gabe Dines has really emerged. It's a guy who in the summer, you know, I think there was inklings that they may want to redshirt the 7'3 freshman. And then he continued to get better, continued to put on some weight, strength, and ends up being, you know, what could have been arguably the defensive player of the year, even though it went, you know, to NKU and Trey Robinson. It could have gone to Gabe Dines, who led the league in block shots. There's an art to that as much as there is coming up with steals. So it was good to see Gabe kind of fight through an injury at the midway portion of the year and bounce back and continue to play as well as he has. He'll be a key in the quarterfinal game. He played well at home against Cleveland State. Was a little more neutralized at their facility, so we'll see what happens in game 3.
Yeah, Dines is a fantastic talent. You know, I called Wright State, Youngstown both games this season, and he was available and healthy for the first one, and he was a big game changer over, you know, at Youngstown State when they played. I mean, Wright State has 2 very good bigs in A.J. Braun and Brandon Knoll, and either of those guys were able to really get comfortable and going in that first matchup against Youngstown. They obviously were a little bit more comfortable in the second matchup, even though Burns is really good down low. But without having that 7-footer, the long contesting arms of his, they were a little bit more comfortable down low. So he's a big-time difference maker. And how's his health? How's the health of Youngstown State at this point, Rob? Because we all know how good you could be, but if your team's banged up and you're missing some key contributors, that could be a problem. Ask Green Bay. That's why they're so happy that they're getting Reynolds back. But what's the health like of Youngstown right now as we sit here heading into the quarterfinals?
For the most part, everybody that was available at the end of the year will be available for the tournament. Jalen Bates, who was injured during the game at Oakland back in January, is probably out for the season with a foot injury. So that's a tough loss. That takes a little bit of a hit. But for the most part, the depth is still there. And everybody that's been playing throughout the course of the season and wrapped up the regular campaign will be eligible for the tournament.
All right, good stuff. Rob Schmidt, the voice of the Penguins, the Youngstown State Penguins, the 2 seed. Send us out with this, Rob. Again, we talked about the matchups. We took a look at all those, but Youngstown State, Cleveland State, just your final takeaways on this matchup as both of these teams fight for a Final Four spot in Indianapolis at Indiana Farmers Coliseum next Monday night.
I think what it really starts with Cleveland State's Tristan Ennaruda. I think people across the league will agree he's maybe the most. He's probably got the ability to be the best NBA prospect. He has that kind of a body, that kind of a game, multi-dimensional player. They really feed off of him. He had 31 points in game two and was the difference. We'll see how the complementary pieces for Cleveland State occur. I think being at home for the Penguins will make a big difference. But you're right, it comes down to matchups, and I really think how they contend with Ennaruda will go a long way, and I think how our guys shoot from beyond the arc will go a long way with Cleveland State's scrappy defense.
Rob Schmidt, voice of the Penguins. I shouldn't say this week's. We have multiple guests this week, catching up with as many of the play-by-play voices as we can, who have a front and center view of all the talented teams around the league. And of course, he has the pleasure of calling games for the Penguins all season, who are one of the top teams, no doubt, the 2 seed, and they'll be taking on Cleveland State quarterfinal action 7 o'clock. At Youngstown State tomorrow night. So thank you so much for your help previewing this matchup and just kind of putting a bow on the regular season. And I know we'll be talking soon, Rob. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jess. I appreciate all you do for the Horizon League. It's really good. People need to realize how good this league is. And I know you go a long way in helping to spread that knowledge. So thanks again.
All right, great stuff. Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League.